And welcome back to Armchair HQ. We're actually just going to jump right into the recap today because we got a little surprise coming later on, so we don't want to make the episode a little too long. So here is the Week 5 recap, sponsored by Inedible Arrangements. You can find all the articles and neat stuff at inediblearrangements.wordpress.com. So first game, Thursday night, as a Bills fan, definitely painful.
Yeah.
Patriots beat the Bucks 19-14. Bucks left 9 points on the board with field goals.
Yeah.
They ended up bringing in a new kicker this week and got rid of Nick Folk.
They had like open tryouts.
Yeah.
Just like anybody off the streets.
Just a typical Patriots win that they just somehow ended up getting.
Yeah.
So frustrating. Jets beat the Browns 17-14.
Probably the worst game in the NFL.
I
can't remember what the game was last week. Oh, Jets-Jaguars. Where I was like, I hope to God nothing this bad happens again.
Yeah.
Well, something that bad happened again this week. But it was pretty predictable.
Yeah, we were watching the Bills game. And then Joe G walked in and was like, what's the other game on TV? And we flipped to it. And the whole room just goes out. And he goes, like, why in God's name is this game on television?
There are so many other good games on. Like, the game was close, at least, I guess.
Yeah, but
I just didn't care at all.
It's just funny that the Jets are 3-2.
Yeah.
Panthers beat the Lions 27-24. Cam Newton comes back to silence the critics.
He had a really good game.
Yeah.
His receivers ran really good routes.
Anyways, 49ers played the Colts. Colts won 26-23 in overtime. I had a bet on this game, so I was relieved that the Colts pulled it out, even though they threw an interception right in the red zone in overtime. I thought that was going to seal their fate.
Yeah.
But 49ers have been in pretty much every game they've been
in. This is the second straight week they've lost in overtime.
It's just a matter of time before. The fact that Kyle Shanahan is getting them this close with like almost all young, like rookies and young guys on defense, and Brian Hoyer as a quarterback.
He's gotten something
impressive.
Out of Brian Hoyer.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So eventually when they draft a quarterback and Hoyer becomes like the backup-ish guy, that rookie's probably going to be in pretty good shape.
Yep.
Titans played the Dolphins. Dolphins won 16-10. They had like no offense, and Adam Gase after the game was saying like, yeah, we're pretty legit. And I don't want to sound like a hater because I'm a Bills fan, but like, the Dolphins' offense is atrocious.
I mean, they barely beat Matt Castle.
Yeah.
Jay Cutler didn't even... He threw for like 70 yards or something.
Yeah. It was... Ugh, it was so bad.
And they cannot get Jay Ajayi going, which makes sense because there's no reason for teams not to just stack the box.
Yeah.
What is Jay Cutler going to do? Throw it past you?
Luckily, the Dolphins' defense is solid. It's decently solid like it always is. That was the difference in the game. They had a...
The difference in the game was that Marcus Mariota was injured.
Aside from that fact, Bengals beat the Bills 20-16. We were due for a game like this. We've been getting some bounces our ways. It was really sloppy.
It pretty much immediately evaporated my optimism for this team.
I mean, I've picked them to lose pretty much every game.
Yeah,
because
I picked them to win this game.
I've been waiting.
They should have won this game. They had three turnovers. They had a punt return, which was brought back to like the 30, and then was a 15-yard penalty. So they had starting field position like the 15-yard line, got three field goals out of it.
It just let you know. It pretty much confirmed my expectations. My optimism is low. The defense is great, but, you know, Tyrod is middle of the road.
Same problem with the Dolphins as it is with the Bills.
Yeah.
Teams are just stacking the box because they're not going to get beat through the air.
Put in that boy, Peter Nathanman or Nathan Peterman.
Peter Nathanman, yeah.
Mr. Peterman.
Throw a nickel here.
Mr. Peterman. Next one, Chargers and the Giants. Chargers won 27-22. Giants are still winless. They're dropping like flies.
Yeah.
So the OBJ injury was gruesome, and he's exciting, so I really hope he's not.
This game pretty much played out exactly how I said it was going to play out. Yeah. Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram, they combined for like 4 sacks, and they were just in Eli's face all day. This offensive line it's got to be the worst unit in football.
Yeah, the Giants' odds to win the Super Bowl right now are the same as the Jets.
Yeah, I saw that.
I don't know.
Got to be like 0%.
I don't know if that's a critique of the Giants. I don't know if that's too much faith in the Giants or if that's just a critique on the Jets.
I think they're so. It's got to be both. I think they just both have equally terrible odds. Like, neither of them have pretty much any realistic shot. So they probably, Vegas is probably just like, yeah, 0.0001.
Yeah. Jaguars beat the Steelers 30-9. Jaguars picked off Ben Roethlisberger 5 times. And the Jaguars were talking a little trash about Roethlisberger after the game.
Yeah.
Which.
Roethlisberger was talking a little trash about Roethlisberger after the game.
They had the right to, but I wouldn't trash talk with Roethlisberger, to be honest. He's, you know, it could come back to bite the Jaguars.
Yeah.
The Jaguars aren't going to face a quarterback that's going to play like crap every single week.
Yeah.
Eagles blew out the Cardinals 34-7. Cardinals got Adrian Peterson, so now they actually have a weapon they can use, but the Cardinals are kind of in a holding pattern right now. I don't really know what their deal is. The Eagles are pretty good. Carson Wentz is pretty solid.
They're not 27 points better than the Cardinals. They shouldn't be, at least.
No, definitely.
The Cardinals have been really flat this year. I kind of predicted them to come out flat.
I didn't expect this. Even when David Johnson went out, I thought they'd be able to. I thought Carson
Palmer and Bruce Arians would be able to. Losing David Johnson really hurts. But I think even if they had him, Carson Palmer's just not good enough anymore. He's like 40 years old. I mean, Brady's 40 years old, but he's a totally different story.
The Cardinals need to get the heir apparent. They haven't been preparing enough for that. Seahawks beat the Rams 16-10. A little surprised by this, to be honest. Seahawks defense is good, but they gave up 30-something points to the Titans. And the Rams offense, even with Mariota playing for the Titans, I think the Rams offense is way better than the Titans offense. And I'm very surprised the Rams were only able to get 10 points.
They had a chance to win the game at the end.
Well, Cooper Kupp
right. Dropped the pass. It was the second dropped pass the Rams receiving corps had all year.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's something. Ravens beat the EJ Manuel-led Raiders 30-17. Bet on the Ravens in this one.
Yep.
Pretty happy.
I bet the under and I lost.
That one, I was definitely surprised that that happened.
Yeah. It's because of the Raiders just couldn't hold on to the ball. Like, EJ didn't really play that bad. I don't even know if he threw an interception.
I don't think so.
But the Ravens had
I just don't think he really did enough.
The Ravens had a fumble six.
Yeah.
Which really They scored like 21 points in the first quarter. And then after that, everything else went according to plan for the under, at least.
All I know is
when that explosion.
All I know is when Derek Carr comes back, they'll probably smoke the Bills because it's a good team. It's the most Bills thing ever
that the Bucs drop a game to the Pats. The Titans don't have Mariota when they play the Dolphins.
Yeah.
And then the Bills are going to have to face all three of those teams at full strength.
At full strength.
Well, not the Titans. They don't play the Titans this year.
No.
But still.
Yeah. Packers beat the Cowboys 35-31. Aaron Rodgers went full Aaron Rodgers, threw a touchdown with 11 seconds left. The Cowboys, the minute the Cowboys scored, I knew, that was the last game I bet on. I parlayed those three teams, so I was very happy that the Cowboys scored with like a minute and 11 seconds left. And you just knew. They left him so much time.
Yeah.
They left him so much time. And they made him look silly in the last drive.
Yeah. Solidified his spot as probably the top quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, if it wasn't already.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you still got your doubters out there. New England.
Yeah.
Patriots fans.
Yeah.
The occasional, I don't know, Chiefs fan. Delusional Chiefs fan.
To his credit, Alex Smith is playing really, really well.
Yeah, but he's not better than Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, and you will never be able to convince me that he's not doesn't have the best arm in the NFL.
Yeah.
Chiefs beat the Texans 42-34. The score probably wasn't as close as it should have been, but Deshaun Watson is the real deal.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson is going to make literally every team regret on passing on him.
J.J. Watt broke his leg. He's out for the year. Yeah. So that's a huge loss for the Texans.
Really sucks. Because I really like J.J. Watt. I predicted him to have like 20 sacks this season.
Yeah. See, I mean, Jadeveon Clowney picked up a lot of his slack last year. We'll see if he's able to pull it off this year, too. I mean, it's pretty... You can't, like, fully pick up his slack. Because he had a 20-sack season a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Defensive player of the year, like, what, 3 times?
Mm-hmm.
You can't, like, replace that. But Clowney did an admirable job last year.
If you're going to replace him with somebody, Clowney's one of the top guys you'd want to have.
Yeah.
But it's still a large obstacle to overcome.
Yeah.
And the last game last night, Vikings beat the Bears 2017. Trubisky played okay. He played about how a rookie would play. He threw a touchdown pass. he had a really nifty two-point conversion. They ran like a triple option sort of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, he got a chance at the end to try to get it, and he threw an interception right on his first right on the first throw of his two-minute drill.
He had two very costly turnovers. He had a fumble in his own territory in the first half, near the end of the first half, I want to say.
Yeah.
At, like, his own 20-yard line. And then, yeah, when he had the chance, game tied at 17, had the chance to lead the Bears on the field first play.
But if I'm
the ball over.
But if I'm a Bears fan, considering in your first start, your rookie quarterback almost won you a game against a team that's far superior to yours, at least right now.
Yeah,
you should be pretty happy. At least, at least excited. If not, if you're disappointed about the loss, you should at least be excited, because Trubisky looks, for a guy that had never thrown an NFL pass, looks like he's going to be, at least there's going to be something there.
The Vikings
have something to watch now.
The Vikings quarterback situation is going to get very interesting soon, because Bradford looked injured.
Yeah,
he didn't play well. Case Keenum came in and did pretty well.
But he's, you know,
and now Teddy Bridgewater is coming back.
They've been, I mean, this is exactly, to their credit, they have played the situation as well as they possibly can. They had Bradford last year, played pretty well. They bring in Keenum to be a backup, and he's played pretty well. And they haven't given up on Bridgewater. They literally, everyone was saying, like, oh, if Bradford plays really well for 2-3 seasons, Bridgewater can just be traded.
Yeah.
That's true. But, you know, Bradford's my guy. But he's hurt.
Yeah.
He's always hurt, unfortunately. Keenum has a ceiling, and you've just been waiting on Bridgewater. And we don't know how good Bridgewater is going to be with his knee, but when his knee was fine, he was pretty darn good.
Yeah.
And now you can, when he comes back, if the other two guys are still the way they are, there, you still got your guy who you thought was the future.
Yep.
Vikings have been really smart about this. That was week 5.
Yep.
Before we move on to important stats, though, we're going to have a quick episode of Jake's Medical Corner here.
Yep.
Not so much because of any head trauma or head injuries, but just because there was a metric ass load of injuries this week. So I'm just going to run through a couple of names, and then once I'm done, I'm going to get your reaction, Rob.
Sure.
So here we go. Devontae Parker, Odell Beckham Jr., Brandon Marshall, Sterling Shepard, J.J. Watt, Drake Kirkpatrick, Adam Jones, Pac-Man Jones, Charles Clay, Sean Lee, Travis Kelce, Terrence West, Kevin King, Lane Johnson, and Haloti Ngata.
A lot of big names there.
That's a lot of big names.
Yeah. What specifically sticks out to me is the rash of Giants receivers right in a row there. OBJ, Brandon Marshall, Sterling Shepard. OBJ and Brandon Marshall have now been confirmed to be out for the season.
Yeah.
Sterling Shepard is probably going to miss 4 to 6 weeks, from what I heard.
I don't even know who their number one receiver is going to be then.
They also lost Dwayne Harris,
yeah,
who is not even on that list.
So Evan Engram will be the number one target, but
yeah,
I honestly don't know
anybody else. Yeah, they don't have Lucky Whitehead anymore, do they? He's on the Cowboys.
He's on the Cowboys.
Yeah.
The Giants are going to be... It's not going to get any easier for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
J.J. Watt, real shame. We already talked about him. Yeah.
Lane Johnson is a big loss for the Eagles.
Big, big loss. Sean Lee didn't play for the Cowboys, I don't think.
Yeah.
In the game.
Yeah.
Right?
He got injured like a couple days before.
But still, like.
So, like, Gronk.
He's still
hurting. Well, now there's a report.
He's still hurting.
Brady missed practice today, I guess.
AC joint sprain.
Yeah. I think he'll be fine.
He'll play. He's Tom Brady.
Yeah. Any theories? I have a theory as to why there were so many injuries this week. Do you have any?
No. What's your theory?
I think it's just right before bye weeks. Well, this is the first week bye week started, so I think teams are like, I don't know.
They're just fatigued. Yeah.
They're just starting to get fatigued because they haven't like gotten into the swing of the season yet, and they're already like itching for a bye.
Totally,
I don't know. They just need some rest already.
I don't know if I'm trying to rack my brain if this would mean anything specifically, but the fact that they don't have week 4 byes anymore, I really don't think that would make a difference.
Yeah,
but
I don't think it's a bad
I'm just trying to think if it's a, if there is a coincidence because they stopped that this year.
Yeah,
it's interesting to think.
Yeah,
about.
It'd be hard to. I'm sure if I had like a week of nothing to do, I could break down injuries
of...
by week and like by week.
Yeah,
but I don't. I don't have like a
don't
free
have,
day
don't
to
have
do
any
that.
Time.
Either. So
we're very busy people.
Maybe stay posted for like Christmas break or something.
Yeah. All right, we're going to move on to the People's podcast segment, Important Stats.
Everybody's favorite.
Here we go. All right. You want to start off?
I'll go first. Oh, I lied. We were talking earlier about if I had a UB stat or not, and I said no, but I did actually.
If yours is different than mine, it'll be good.
I think it is.
Go ahead.
So my first stat is 631.
Okay, that's not mine. Okay.
Anthony Johnson has 631 receiving yards. That's fifth in the nation.
Wow.
Yeah. He's also in the top 20 for receptions with 37 and touchdowns with 5.
I haven't been to a lot of college football games in person. I've been to an extensive amount of NFL, games. Anthony Johnson will be in the NFL.
I agree.
He is so, so good. And if you haven't been able to watch a UB football game, we're actually okay now.
Yep.
Please watch because Anthony Johnson will wow you. Anthony Johnson will absolutely wow you.
Yeah.
He's the best player on the field no matter who we play against. Even when we played against Minnesota, he was probably the best player when we were playing against their defense. That's not a knock on their defense. That's just how good he really is.
I mean, I don't want to toot my own horn here, but I told Jake...
Go ahead.
Jake before the season. I work for the UB football team. I break down all their practices and some of their upcoming opponents. And while I was watching practices, I was like, man, this number 83 Johnson... This dude's, like, talented. Like, I think he's going to be a stud. And I told Jake that before the season, and my dad and I talked about it. And I guess he's just a freak athlete, too.
Yeah.
Like, Tyre Jackson said he's, like, the best basketball player on the team.
Doesn't surprise me. I'll do my UB stat. I'll do as my next one. So, mine is number is 3. And that is the number of the Giants' top 4 receivers out for the season.
We just talked about it.
It was OBJ, Marshall, Dwayne Harris... Shepard's going to miss an extensive period of time.
Yeah.
We literally have, not a shot at the Giants receiving core. I just don't know who their top guy is now.
I saw that. I mean, I didn't open up the article. I didn't read it. But there were Eli Manning to the Jaguars theories floating around the internet today.
Would the Jaguars give a first strike?
They'd have to give up, like, a first round pick. And like,
interesting.
Marquise Lee. I don't know.
How humorous and just disappointing if you're a Jets fan if the Giants got the quarterback you wanted if they get like Darnold or Rosen or something, and if the Jets keep winning weird games here and there and they just don't end up with one of those guys I don't want to think about it
I'm a little skeptical about Darnold, but that's for a different time.
Yeah,
he'll be good.
Yeah.
We can discuss that maybe later.
All right.
My second stat is kind of a joke stat. The stat 1.5 is 48. So, Louis Riddick leads all ESPN experts with 48 picks guessed correctly. This is straight picks, not against the spread. So, he's got 48 in the first 5 weeks.
Okay.
I have correctly guessed 49. So, and I'd imagine you're probably around the same thing.
Let's see. I went 11-5 the first week, and then I've gone like 10-6 each subsequent week.
Yeah. So you're probably around 50 there.
I'm around 50. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, it's not like Louis Riddick has like 6 picks on the next guy. Like, they suck. I don't know how they're so bad.
Louis Riddick is pretty smart too.
Yeah. Louis Riddick knows what he's doing. He had like front office prospects.
Yeah.
Before.
Yeah. He got interviewed by the 49ers. He was the favorite before they hired John Lynch.
But that's kind of a joke stat.
Okay.
So I want to list my real stat number 2, not 1.5. So stat number 2 is 1. Hopkins has had 1 catch in the last 2 games.
Wow.
A 17-yarder against the Cowboys last week. He was shut out against the Seahawks on Sunday.
He started retweeting fans tweeting that they need to get him the ball more.
Yeah. He's not wrong.
He's absolutely not wrong. They lost last week.
Yeah, it was the problem with the Bills too. Like, when the Bills would throw to him, he could dominate games.
One of the first article I wrote for Sports Quotient was literally saying that he had done like nothing, and then when he just asked for the ball more, he had better stats than AJ Green.
Yeah.
And when you think of like elite receivers in the NFL, you think like, oh, Julio, OBJ,
AJ Green.
Yeah,
he's the top 3.
Sammy Watkins is talent wise a top 5 receiver in the NFL.
Yeah.
He just like is kind of quiet. He's not a diva, so they don't like force in the ball.
Yeah, which is a shame.
When they should.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alright, my next stat is 139.
Alright.
I think you know where I'm going with this one. That is the number of points in UB's game against Western Michigan that went 7 overtimes.
Yeah.
And I could have said 7 because they tied for the longest game in NCAA history, like, period-wise, but, yeah, like, minute-wise, it was the longest game of all time, college, yep, football.
I imagine pro football also.
139 ties for the most points scored all time in an NCAA football game.
Yeah.
And I was there with my dad. It was incredible.
It is insane.
And
yeah.
I was annoyed that they lost, but not disappointed, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because UB lost to Western Michigan 31-0 last year. Western Michigan went undefeated, won the MAC, and then played Wisconsin pretty tough in the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah.
The fact that UB went from being a 2-win team last year to already having 3 wins, could have 4, could have 5.
Could have 5 if they beat Army. Yeah.
And they took arguably top 2 team in the MAC to 7 overtimes with a backup quarterback and a third string running back, makes me pretty happy with the way,
yeah,
that the team is finally going.
Yeah.
And makes me actually like excited to watch games.
Yeah. Shout out to Drew Anderson, broke like every passing record,
yeah,
in MAC history.
And he only started his senior year of high school, didn't get recruited, walked on at San Diego State, didn't play there, so went to junior college, finally got like 2 years to start, was amazing, and then has just been like hanging out at UB,
yeah,
and now he gets a shot.
Yeah. He's a junior, so
both him and Tyree Jackson are only gonna get better.
Quarterback contract,
which is awesome.
Yeah. And they're gonna be throwing Anthony Johnson for the next 2 years too.
I mean, if you're gonna have a quarterback controversy, pretty happy it's with those two guys.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to go wrong.
Yeah.
All right.
My last stat, as it always is baseball related.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 36.
Okay.
36 years since the Washington Nationals / Montreal Expos have won a playoff series. They beat the Phillies in the NLDS in 1981.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's going to be perfect moving into our segment in a little bit.
Yep.
My last stat is 92. That's the total passing yards by Jay Cutler in the Dolphins' 16-10 win over the Titans.
Wow.
So Adam Gase went and said that he thinks the Dolphins are legit. You might be legit as long as your quarterback can throw for triple digits, because you're not going to beat the Titans. You're not going to
beat the
Bills. You're not going to beat a team just by having your only touchdown of the game be on a, you know, a fumble six, whatever the heck that was.
Yeah,
that they had.
I don't remember.
Sorry, Adam Gase. I think you're a good coach, but you're smart enough to know that you're not going to be able to sustain that.
I would like to think, from the way the two teams match up, the Bills should have no problem with the Dolphins.
I mean, I thought that last year.
But yeah, the thing is, Jay Ajayi, for some reason, just owns the Bills.
Hopefully we just have 11 guys on the field. So
yeah, hopefully we can just stack the box, because Jay Cutler's not going to do it. And, like, it's not like Jay Cutler doesn't have weapons. He's got Jarvis Landry and Devontae Parker.
And Kenny Stills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they should be good.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
So, like I mentioned a second ago with Rob's baseball stat, we have a very special guest this week that we're very excited to have on. He has become one of our new baseball writers. He's really passionate about it. He's very knowledgeable. We recorded this today on Tuesday, so this episode's going to come out on Wednesday, so, and actually we got lucky because the Cubs and the Nationals game got rained out,
yeah,
so we're not going to miss anything, so it's going to be really up to date. We were waiting to interview him, really excited. This is hashtag Save the Win featuring Jake Hammerman.
We're very excited to welcome on our baseball expert, Mr. Jake Hammerman. He's going to be here to give us the play-by-play on what's going on in the baseball world with the October Classic coming up.
Yeah, excited to be here.
All right. So, Jay, for anybody that doesn't know, Jay is a very, very, very big Yankees fan. So he's clearly very excited.
Dude, I'm pumped. I might be actually going to the game tomorrow night in Cleveland. It's gonna be pretty fun. You know,
Kluber versus Sabathia.
You know,
tomorrow's matchup.
Some former Cy Youngs going at it.
Yeah, well, Sabathia Cy Young was...
Hey,
a while. You're not wrong.
Listen, he's just old. Yeah, the 37-year-old experience, you know.
Yeah, he's got that postseason experience. I value that.
Definitely did not see him pitching that well the other day. That was
the thing is, he might not go late into the game. Like, Sonny Gray might come in at like fourth or
that's
fifth.
That's true.
Game, you know?
Yeah, and the Yankees bullpen is just so insanely good.
Yeah, you know, the game's gonna go like, what's gonna dictate the game is basically who strikes first. Like if the Yankees go up on Kluber early, that will give them the confidence to win. But if the Indians come out and steamrolling and Kluber's, you know, shutting the Yankees down and they get a few runs, it might be over early.
So. Yeah, I'd agree with that. What do you make of Aaron Judge in the ALDS? He's hitless.
He's not hitless.
Did he get a hit yesterday?
He got a big two-run double yesterday.
Oh, you're right, he did.
First time in a while.
Yeah. He started like 0 for 11 with 9 strikeouts.
He's got walks. He's playing excellent. In game 3, he possibly could have saved the season with that, you know, home run catch. He's been doing what he's got to do. When he's on base, you know, he's getting extra bases, like not by stealing, but just by like there's a hit to the outfield, you know, he's running extra bases. He's producing. He might not be hitting, but come tomorrow night, you know, expect some greatness out of the Judge.
He's like scary enough at the plate that teams don't really want to pitch to him. Which is like why he takes so many walks.
Even if he strikes out, his presence impacts everything.
Yeah.
You can't deny it.
It's more of like when you strike him out, it's more of like a breath of relief than it is like a like rah-rah.
I mean, this guy out. The middle of that Yankees lineup with Sanchez, Judge, and Gregorius, they combined for 110 home runs during the regular season. Yeah. Like, that's not something that you want to, like, just go out and face.
Nothing to sneeze at.
And you know what sets the lineup? Aaron Hicks batting ninth sets the whole lineup up. He's, like, he's been hitting the best on the Yankees this postseason. Batting ninth, you know, sets up the offense. Mm-hmm. And I like what Girardi's doing there. Didn't agree with the no challenge by Girardi in game two. The series could have been over by now, but, you know. We'll all make mistakes, you know. I'm glad Chapman confronted him about the Instagram post, that he did, but, you know, if they're all on the same page, thumbs down all the way. But about the Indians, though, I think Edwin Encarnacion's injury really impacted what's going on. Like, that big bat in the middle of the lineup, it impacts how they've been pitching to Jose Ramirez, Lindor, everybody in front of him.
Bruce, yeah.
Yeah, it's he's I, been...
I am going to play a little bit of devil's advocate here. Corey Kluber this year, 18-4, 225 ERA, 265 strikeouts.
Listen, he's a beast. He's probably going to win Cy Young, you know? Yeah, but guess what? The Yankees scored on him in game 2. Last
time, but I don't know, Kluber doesn't get roughed up twice in a row.
It's unlikely that it happens, but that's why I'm saying we need an early run in the game if the Yankees want to stand the chance.
Yeah, they were able to rough up Bauer the second time around.
That's true.
Mind you, it was on short rest, but they've been able to defy the odds.
Who shut them out in the first game? Was that Bauer?
It was Bauer.
And then Kluber pitched game 2.
Yep. And then
it was Sabathia versus Kluber in game 2 right?
It was Carrasco was game 3.
Against Tanaka.
Tanaka. Beast. Was a beast.
Game 3, yeah.
I actually have a Tanaka Nippon Baseball League jersey.
Oh, really?
Because he played for Rakuten, which is in Sendai, where we lived.
Yeah.
So, when Tanaka was coming over, my dad actually, like, my dad doesn't usually, like, freak out over free agents, like, ever. But when Tanaka came over, my dad was like, oh, my God, like, he's going to make us proud.
Yeah.
Do you think he's going to opt out at the end of the year?
Tanaka?
Yeah.
Probably not.
I don't think he should.
I don't know.
I don't think he's going to get as much money as he's already getting.
Especially after not having that great of a regular season.
Yeah, it was up and down the regular season. It was weird, but I don't know. I don't want him to opt out just because Yankees need pitching.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's an inning eater. He's an inning eater.
I don't think he'll leave.
Yeah.
I don't think so either.
All right.
I'm going to move on to the next series.
Yankees-Indians coming up in a couple days. So, one of the two series that ended yesterday, Astros and Red Sox in Boston, pouring rain. They thought the game was going to get delayed for like 3 hours, but it ended up just playing all the way through.
Yep.
Astros ended up pulling it out, even though for the first time, you know, I mean, the Red Sox won the last game, but this was the first time that the Astros really looked concerned that this series might not go their way. But umps definitely helped out the Astros a little bit, but John Farrell and Dustin Pedroia totally
lost their cool.
I don't care if the Red Sox were up by a couple of runs in that game. That right there, that pretty much solidified the result of the game.
Yeah,
they needed to cool it.
Chris Sale had a pretty rough series.
Yeah,
his ERA was over 8.
Yeah,
So he was 0-2, so lost two of the three games.
Was that his first? Those were his first two
playoffs. The first time he's ever made the playoffs. Yeah, he's been stuck on the White Sox his whole career. So Houston, they're a scary team. Their offense is pretty. They kind of got a juggernaut going there.
Yeah, if they can find consistent pitching behind Keuchel,
Verlander.
I'm just saying he didn't pitch well when he came in out of the bullpen. Even though it was the first time he pitched out of the bullpen,
it's tough.
They're a very scary team.
They are
like top to bottom. Like their offense comes like just everywhere. Springer's a threat. Altuve's a threat.
Correa.
Yeah. Bregman, like even guys like Reddick, Marwin Gonzalez, and you got the veterans and Brian McCann.
Yeah,
you know that team. They can That's built for the World Series. That's what that team is.
Yeah,
yeah.
Does their bullpen worry you? And they got Ken Giles.
The thing is, Ken Giles gave the inside the park home run though.
Yeah,
when it mattered, it didn't. I mean, it didn't really matter in the long run.
Their bullpen doesn't scare me just because their starting pitching is that good and their offense is that good.
Yeah, that's fair.
If you're good enough two of those three, you'll be okay. Like I know, lately the past like. Couple seasons, postseason success is just bullpens, but with their offense and pitching, they could get it done with just those two.
I agree.
The other series that ended last night, Dodgers and Diamondbacks, unfortunately wasn't that much of a series. Diamondbacks really didn't play very well. Greinke was doing his best to keep them in the series, in the game last night, but the Dodgers just have too many weapons to compare the Diamondbacks. Bellinger hit a home run. Justin Turner's a machine.
The Dodgers should, on paper, are the best team in baseball.
Yeah.
Especially when you factor in the Kershaw effect.
You can, and then you have Kershaw
going in once every three
and
games.
You can have Darvish go right after him.
Yeah. Wood had a great year.
Yeah.
Kenley Jansen.
Rich Hill's like, beast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, Bellinger, Taylor, Seager, the young guys. Yeah. Those are the guys that are, and they're young. This team's going to be a threat forever. Like
I'm really big into baseball prospects, and they have like a top five farm system too.
Yeah,
so they're just going to keep getting better.
And they have the money to sustain that every year when they can just go talk to free agents every year.
Yeah, or like international free agents.
Yeah,
like international amateurs, they can just throw as much money as they want at these guys.
Diamondbacks though, they had a good season. Like after signing Greinke last season, and they, you know, were supposed to be really good, and they didn't live up to that. This year, they came back and they showed baseball who they were. You know, they did what they were supposed to do. They had the players: Goldschmidt, Pollock. They traded for JD. They made the push. Mm-hmm. Robbie Ray showed up this year.
Yeah,
you know, they had a good season. Let's not give them credit there.
Yeah, definitely.
And they had the Dodgers number during the season, so the series could have easily gone another way. Yeah, but
the Dodgers kind of struggled down the stretch too, while the Diamondbacks were hot.
But you know, the Dodgers are hot right now. You know, let's see if that'll continue that in the next series.
So the team, one of the two teams they'll have to play, they're gonna have their game four this evening. Cubs are up 2-1 against the Nationals. Rob, you're saying the game might get canceled?
Yeah, based on my contact, my Chicago fan contact, Barstool Big Cat, he made it sound like the game was not going to be played today.
It's because of my girl.
Questionable decisions by Dusty Baker
in
the series. He pulled Max Scherzer in the seventh with a one-hitter.
Yeah, sometimes you can't overmanage.
Yeah, I don't know. Let your guy throw, man. And I'll Cy Young winner probably.
As a Mets fan, I really don't like the Nationals at all. So I'm very excited to watch them still continue to have no NLCSs hosted in their baseball park. Earlier this season, Trey Turner hit a home run against the Braves in Atlanta, and the Nationals Twitter page tweeted out like, "Oh, like this is still Turner Field, even though they have their new stadium,
SunTrust,
whatever it's called." And the Braves tweeted back at them, "Yeah, SunTrust Field still has as many NLCSs hosted as your park, though."
True.
And I was like, "Attaboy, Braves! Don't like you either, but thanks for putting
later on to important stats. I got one along those lines that I think you're gonna enjoy.
I'm sure I will.
Yeah,
I still really love Daniel Murphy because it wasn't his fault to leave, but Nationals fans are so annoying."
I'm on the other side. I'm a Cardinals fan, so
you hate the Cubs.
Obviously, anybody but the Cubs.
The Nationals' offense is struggling. Trey Turner, no hits in this postseason.
Yeah.
Harper's batting 167. Rendon's batting 100. Murphy's batting 91. 91. Like, they're top four guys right there.
Yeah.
What are they doing? I mean, at least Ryan Zimmerman's doing something. 250, but that's nothing special, that's, you know?
Their offense has
been struggling, and that's...
They're going to have to face Arrieta in this game. If it's played, even if it's not played, they're going to have to play Arrieta.
They could get to Arrieta.
They're going to have to be... But, to win the series, they're going to have to beat Arrieta and Hendricks. And Hendricks threw seven shutout innings in game one. Yeah.
It's their offense has to, you know, just do little things. Get on base, you know, steal, try to get your guys in scoring position. Just score a couple runs because that could be, like, it could be a low scoring game.
The Cubs haven't really been scoring that much either.
Exactly. Like, so if three runs could win the game.
Yeah, just get some scrappy but offense
even,
going.
Even if they haven't been scoring runs, though, they definitely have a momentum, and they're also, they got to be in the Nationals' head. Like, the Nationals lost a game when they had their best pitcher going.
Yeah.
The Cubs scored two runs and they beat them with their best pitcher going.
Yeah, the Cubs have
That's got to be draining.
Cubs have scored 3-3 and two runs in the series. They're up 2-1.
Yeah.
So they've only scored eight runs.
Did you guys hear that Chicago Cub grandma who was calling Bryce has lice? Yeah, yeah, listen, that's going to get to Bryce Harper. Like, you know, he has the best hair in baseball, but, you know, hearing that fan heckle at him, oof.
And
not want to go to Wrigley Field right now.
I don't want lice.
There's kids in the stadium. Can't believe that they'll get away with it.
Watch your mouth, Grandma. Come on.
I'm an adult and I'm offended.
Come on.
I'm all for it, you know. That's what you're a fan for, you know.
I'm all about hygiene.
You know. Bryce has lice, you know. You just got to keep going net. Get the whole stands. Get everybody involved. That's how you get to them mentally.
You know, Bryce went home and, like, had that metal comb and had to, like, scrape his scalp.
Go through just each double check. Each hair, you know. Spent a couple hours last night.
Put himself in the mirror. You don't have lice. Don't listen to me.
Ice Harbor.
I know. I know you don't have lice. I know your hair is beautiful.
Remember cornrows for, like, 3 days?
Yeah.
And got roasted. He also had, like, the white hair for a couple days, too.
Oh my God.
Also got roasted.
He's a good looking guy, but
I guess. Yeah.
He's got lice. So
he's a good baseball player.
He's got lice.
It's funny, like, that chant is like something that could easily come up with, but, like, nobody's ever come up with it, and then boom, right here, and it's going viral. I love it.
It's so simple and so, like, childish that it just, like,
it sticks.
Just works.
That's what baseball is, you know, it's just you know, living out your childhood when you're an adult.
Yeah.
Lice isn't nice. All right. Thanks, Jay.
Yeah,
thanks for coming on. We'll have you on again before World Series, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. This was great. Thanks, guys. Yeah,
thanks for coming on.
Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another?
It's a great interview.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
Jay's a great guy.
He's a good man.
Jay's one of our favorite guys of all time.
He's a good man.
Yeah.
There's Tuesdays with Maury, we have Tuesdays with Jay. We get lunch with Jay every Tuesday.
Well, Mondays with Maury.
I thought it was Tuesdays with Maury, the book.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, what we do every Monday.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Because
Tuesdays
with
Maury, the book, but we watch the Maury Povich show every Monday morning.
Yeah, okay. I was like, what? Did you switch it up on me?
No, and Steve Wilkos.
Yeah.
Kill him, oh my God!
So we're going to move on to Joe My God. This one's going to be a little shorter this week because... This is a self-proclaimed Joe My God by Joe.
He specifically requested that we do this Joe My God.
Yeah, so he and I were hanging out at the house maybe 2 or 3 days ago, and we were doing laundry, and so I put my laundry in the wash, and he put his in the dryer, and we walked back upstairs from the basement, and about an hour goes by, and I go, Joe, like, don't you think you should check on your clothes in the dryer? He's like, no, maybe like 10, 15 more minutes. They're probably not done yet. I was like, okay. 10, 15 minutes go by, we go downstairs, and I'm, you know, I open up the washer, I'm starting to, like, make sure my clothes, you know, like, not damp and soaking wet. And I just see him put his head in his hands. I was like, oh, what's the matter, Joe? And he just goes, just put your stuff in the dryer. I was like, why? What's the matter? I forgot to turn it on. we were sitting upstairs for almost an hour and a half, and Joe just forgot to turn the dryer on.
It's because I had done a little laundry right before that, and the lint trap was full. Before I put my stuff in, so I cleaned it out, you know, whatever, like you usually do, and put it back in. And I didn't clean it out afterwards, because usually, like, the thing is you clean it before you...
Yeah.
Like, you gotta check before you put your stuff in anyway, because if it's full, you don't want it to catch on fire.
Yeah.
So I was like, it's fine. So he was, I think he pulled the lint trap out and saw stuff on there.
Yeah.
And was so fixated on, like, putting on a show.
Ridiculing
and,
everybody.
Yeah, and being like, who left all this crap in the lint trap?
Throwing it on the coffee
that
table.
That he just forgot to put, he just forgot to turn it on.
He's a showboat.
Yeah, I think that's really the only reason. He's a showboat. Why. Yeah, but he, as soon as he did that, he came upstairs. And this was, like, 1 a.m.
Yeah.
And he, so he's just, he was just done. He's like, I'm just...
He's like, I'll fluff it in the morning.
Yeah, he's like, can you just please make this the jump I got this week?
Oh, man.
He's a good sport now.
He's a good sport. He loves it.
Yeah.
I can't take it anymore! I just want to die! We all want to die!
So we're going to do IBWB Stupid. We both have IBWB Stupids this week. I was very heated about mine, so I don't know if you want to...
I'm not heated about mine.
Why don't you go first, then?
It was just bizarre. Like, it was one of the weirdest things... Just, like, on a big campus like UB, like, it's, like, wartime. Like, some of the shit you see,
yeah,
either, like, posters or, like, people like rallying or whatever, it's, like, you just gotta, like, put your head down and keep walking. Yeah. So
there's some smart people and there's some very bizarre people.
Yeah. So I was walking through the Union with my headphones in, which I almost never do. Almost never walk with my headphones in because I like talking to people if I bump into them. But I guess I was just not in a talking mood. So I'm walking with my headphones in. And this, like, middle-aged woman. So, like, definitely not... Maybe a student, but if she was a student, like, back from...
Yeah.
After working for 10 years or whatever. Walks up to me and, like, stands in front of me. And, like, pulls the air away from her ears. Like motioning me to take my headphones out. And so I took one out. Because I was like, I really don't want to talk to this lady. But I'll give her, like, some time of day. And I never, like, stopped walking. So I just, like, kept
walking.
You just
kind of walked past her.
And then she, like, turns and starts, like, jogging to keep up with me because she was really short. And I have a really brisk pace.
Yeah.
And she just asked me, do you think it's moral that women's fertility is regulated in the workplace? Or something along those lines. I wrote it down, like, right after it happened.
Is it moral that women's fertility is regulated in the workplace?
Yeah. And I was, like, I could tell that she wanted me to say no.
Right.
So just I said yes.
Looking for
the
fight.
So I was like, sure, and I shrugged. And then she just walked away. I was like, that was bizarre. But then I thought about it more, and I was like, wouldn't, like, managing women's fertility in the workplace just mean, like, don't have sex on the job? In which case...
Yes.
Like, yeah, like...
They're not gonna... They can't monitor you in your own business at home.
Like, maybe I'm just, like, stupid when it comes to healthcare terms, but managing women's fertility...
Well,
I think what you meant, what she was trying to ask me is, like, do you think companies should be handing out birth control or something? Like, that has to be what she was trying to ask me. But if I said yes, then why would she get mad? I don't know what she was trying to ask me. So I was just like, that was so bizarre.
If any listener knows enough about, I guess, birth control when it comes to healthcare, please tell us.
Or what the hell that question's supposed to mean.
I mean, they're not gonna... I've never heard of a company just being, like completely being staunchly saying, yeah, like, if you have sex in the workplace, like, we are gonna come after you. That can't be what it is. It has to be they were gonna be, like, giving out birth control to help, like, women who wanna, like... It's a known fact that there's, you know, like, women who... stop to, you know, work with, like, to develop families sometimes don't advance fast enough in their jobs.
Yeah.
So I guess if like, female employees were like, yeah, I would like some help getting birth control so
maybe
that
that's what she was
advance
trying
my
to.
Job. I don't, I mean,
but
I
like,
guess.
But, like, even then, like, I could tell that no was the right answer here. Because...
Right.
Because I said yes. Because she said it in, like, such a tone that it was, like, condescending.
She wanted
almost.
To have a fight.
Yeah. And I said yes, and then she got mad and walked away. So the quote right answer was no. So whatever she wanted. You wanted, and that which answer is no. I don't know. Maybe she was asking me, do you think people should be reprimanded for having sex on the job?
The answer is no.
And I said yes, which is probably correct. Anyway.
All right, so I'll do mine now. So, a couple days ago, so in the student union at UB, there's this restaurant called Pistachios. And in Pistachios, there is a pasta place that is notorious for having very long lines. like the line will go out the door, and if you're standing in the line outside the door, it's probably going to take you like 30 minutes to get your food. But the pasta is really, 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 really good.
It's worth it.
So I was waiting in line. I was like just on the cusp of being outside the room. So I was like, okay, it'll take me like 25 minutes maybe. I'm waiting in line, and as is normal in, you know, long lines when you're waiting for food, if somebody sees their friend, they're going to hop in line with them.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Can't say I've never done
that. No, of course not. I've done it. I've held spots for people. I see the guys in front. I see a group of people in front of me let one person in. I was like, okay, I don't really care.
Yeah.
I see it. And then as we're getting closer in the line, the two guys in front of me let two girls in who they know. I'm like, okay, like, all right, I hope I don't see any more, because now that's been three people that have come in front of me. We make the first turn around the line. Two more people jump in with that group. And I'm like, all right, this is getting really fucking annoying, because I'm waiting longer and longer for my food. We get to the front of the line, and they literally let two more people just jump in at the front of the line. And at this point, I'm like looking behind me at the people behind me, and they're just kind of like looking and kind of like looking down. I'm like, really? Is everyone going to be like a cuck about this? Is no one going to say anything? And
the
two people that got in front, they're literally looking at me like, oh my God, like, I can't believe we just cut this whole line. Like, can you see how long that line is? I can't believe people wait in this line. And I'm like, oh my God, shut your fucking mouth. Like, you're the worst kind of person. So the guy who was letting everybody in gets up to the front and orders the same thing I got. And so I finally go up there and I'm like, yeah, can I get the lasagna? And so we're waiting there.
Wait, they have lasagna there now?
It was like one of the specials. They have the specials.
Yeah.
So I was waiting, and I see that the lasagna that the guy in front of me ordered is starting to get burned. And I'm like, yeah, serves you right, you piece of shit. Yeah. And so finally the guy looks at him, he's like, yeah, like, do you want, like, so when you get your pasta, the person who makes your pasta is like, oh, do you want cheese on that, and do you want a breadstick? So they ask the guy, do you want cheese and bread? And the guy goes, oh, like, I don't think that one's mine. And the guy just kind of ignores him and keeps cooking. He's like, yeah, like, do you want cheese and bread again? And the guy's like, oh, like, I don't think that's mine. I think it's yours. And he points to me and go, no, that's definitely not mine. And I was like, that's not my pasta. He's like, oh, no, like, I think it's yours. I was like, no, I'm pretty sure it's not mine. And then he's like, well, what do you mean? I go, because I know that you went ahead of me because you let all the people in front of me, you let people cut in front of me.
Yeah.
He was like, oh. And he just kind of, like, took his pasta and left. And then the guy, the chef, like, didn't hear that. And the chef was like, oh, like, you should have grabbed the one. I go, nah, I want my pasta. That one was burned, and he let, like, six people cut. He was like, really? I go, yeah, and I'm, like, sick and tired of it. And the guy was like, good for you. And then he gave me, like, extra cheese and an extra breadstick.
Was it the guy with the glasses?
No, that guy. It was one of the older black guys.
Oh, okay.
He's really, really cool. And like,
they're all really cool.
They're all awesome.
The guy with the glasses is my boy, though.
But yeah, the guy was like, really? He let, like, six people cut you? I was like, yeah, and I'm the only person this entire line who said anything.
Yeah.
So he was like, good for you. So he gave me extra cheese. He gave me a second breadstick.
Yeah.
So when you see injustice, ladies and gentlemen, don't be afraid to stand up for the common man. Especially when it comes to pasta.
Breads and circuses.
If you're gonna cut in a line, fine. Just be cool about it, be discreet, have it be one person. Don't let it be six people. It was literally
you wear like a ninja hood or something.
It was literally like, it wasn't even a line at that point. It was literally like a clump of people just in front of me. Like three people, like standing opposite, like looking at each other, talking. And I was like, just dumbfounded.
Yeah.
Like nobody said anything. Everybody saw them all like, oh, like, I hope nobody sees that I'm cutting in line. Oh my God, this is crazy. Like, no, I see you doing it and you're being a piece of shit about it. Don't try to give me your burned food. I was really mad. I texted Rob right away. I was like, oh, I have my fucking... I'm going to be stupid right now. I am so triggered. Okay. I got it out of the system.
It's always weird transitioning from IBW be stupid to the predictions, because it's like...
It's a very intense...
You get yourself all riled up, and then you're like, no.
Now I need to analyze.
Yeah.
Back
to football.
Speaking of which, these are the Week 6 predictions, sponsored by Comfy Boys. There's nothing we hate more than wearing uncomfortable clothes and most of the time still looking stupid. The Comfy Zone is not just a place to shop for comfy clothes that also look good. It was created to blur the line between comfy and swaggy. Whether you're boy, girl, puppy, elephant, lamp, tree, join the Comfy Boys and help us spread the word of comfiness across the universe. Welcome to your Comfy Zone. Find them at comfy-boys.myshopify.com. I actually just spoke with Andrew Dunafe, one of the co-founders of Inedible Arrangements, and he's been talking more with Zach, the Comfy Boys creator and founder. And I know I've been saying for the last couple episodes that stuff like gear is on the way. It really, really, really is taking the next step forward, because Dunaif and Zach have been working really hard to make a design. So
exciting news.
Hopefully by the end of the month, we will have our shirts and merchandise readily available for everybody.
Very exciting.
Very exciting. So here are the week 6 predictions. First game, Thursday night, we got Eagles and Panthers. I took the Panthers.
Alex took the Panthers.
I think
the short rest benefits the Panthers. Because Thursday games, and this is something that if you want to become sports betting and make easy money, Thursday games are notoriously low scoring because offenses are, they're tired or they can't get in the gear because of the short week, or they don't have time to prepare or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that type of game favors Carolina.
Definitely agree. Bears and Ravens.
Ravens. Yeah.
I don't think Trubisky's win comes just yet.
Yeah, Flacco seems to be out of his funk.
Yeah.
Buck Allen actually had a good week. Maybe they have a running back
something
now.
Yeah. Browns and Texans.
Texans.
Deshaun Watson's the truth.
Easy.
Packers-Vikings.
Packers.
Vikings, I want to see Teddy Bridgewater come back. We just talked about him. I want to see him come back really badly. Lions and Saints.
You know I gotta go with my boy.
Lions,
yeah.
I'm gonna take not quite of an upset. I'm taking the Saints because it's in the Superdome, and I think that...
Well, the Lions also play in the Dome.
I know, but the Superdome is... I don't know. I think New Orleans has at least a bit of home field advantage. I also think that Sean Payton showing his utmost trust in Alvin Kamara now with Adrian Peterson being gone, I think Alvin Kamara will have a great game.
That's gonna be a very exciting game, I think.
Lions Saints. I hope it's on
that,
TV.
That game could be like...
I hope it's on TV here.
I feel like that game could have 70 plus points.
I bet the over on that one.
It depends what it is. I'm sure Vegas is thinking the same thing.
Like 60.
Yeah.
Dolphins, Falcons.
Falcons.
Falcons. Jay Cutler needs to throw for over 100 yards. Pats and Jets.
Pats.
49ers, Redskins.
Redskins. Yeah. This is not a very difficult week of picks.
Bucks and Cards.
I did take the Cardinals on this one.
I took the Buccaneers because they're my...
Yeah, they're your team.
As I've said...
I know I kind of trashed the Cardinals earlier. I said that they've been kind of flat.
Adrian Peterson's
But so are the Buccaneers.
Peterson, I feel like, will give him some sort of injection, but Doug Martin is also back for the Buccaneers now, and the Buccaneers have a new kicker. So, we'll see. I think the Buccaneers will do it. Rams and Jaguars.
I did take the Jaguars. Not exactly sure why.
I took the Rams.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to change that. Well, yeah, I'm definitely going to change that.
Change it?
Yeah.
Both on the Rams?
Because the Jaguars' offense is Leonard Fournette, and the Rams
and nobody else
have a pretty good run defense with Aaron Donald
and
company. And the Jaguars' secondary is pretty solid. I mean, they picked up Ben 5 times.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
The Rams have Todd Gurley also.
Yeah, the Rams have Gurley. And Goff is somehow more secure with the football than
Ben Roethlisberger.
Speaking
of Ben Roethlisberger, Steelers and Chiefs.
Chiefs
are...
Could definitely see the Steelers winning this game.
It is in Kansas City.
Yeah, that's a lot of the reason why I said
I just don't know.
Otherwise.
I honestly don't know when the Chiefs will lose. I don't know what the Chiefs' schedule looks like, but... They'll
lose to somebody in that division.
They're not going to go undefeated.
The division's too tough.
They'll lose to somebody in the division, but...
They'll lose 3 or 4 games.
The Chiefs can beat everybody in the NFL.
Yeah.
There's nobody in the NFL that you could say the Chiefs can't beat them.
And they beat the Patriots and the Eagles both, pretty easily.
Yeah.
And that's two of the best teams so far.
And they made... I mean, granted, it was Deshaun Watson's second career start? Third career start. And Deshaun Watson had an amazing...
What do you mean, fourth?
Either way, I mean, Deshaun Watson started against them after being on fire, and his numbers were great, but, you know, the score, there were some garbage time touchdowns in there. The Chiefs were pretty comfortable with the Texans.
Yeah.
Chargers and Raiders.
Chargers.
I'm picking the Raiders on the solely on the fact that if Derek Carr plays, they'll win.
I'm assuming that Derek Carr's not going to play.
I'm going to go on the assumption that he does, but yeah. If he doesn't, then it's the Chargers easily.
Yeah, yeah.
Giants and Broncos.
Broncos. Von Miller might have 72 sacks.
The Giants, just for Eli's sake, please, please, please protect him from Von Miller.
Just hand the ball off to Orleans Darkwa and Paul Perkins and Shane Vereen.
Orleans Darkwa.
What a name. Maybe we'll make an all-name Madden team will be our next.
Just the best names possible. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif will still be on there. McLeod Bethel-Thompson will be the quarterback.
I don't even know who that is.
The only reason I know him is because of his name.
Yeah.
And finally, Monday Night Football, Colts and Titans.
I went with Titans if Mariota plays, Colts otherwise.
Same thought process I had along with the Raiders-Chargers game. If Mariota plays, I pick the Titans. If not, Colts. Even if Mariota doesn't play, I feel like the Colts will squeak one out, just like they squeak one out against the 49ers. I think the Titans are a significantly better team than 49ers, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is our episode. Rob, you wanted to give a quick shout-out to somebody special?
Yeah, two people, actually. So I don't know if you noticed. Hopefully you did. But our sound quality this episode has taken a big step up. And for that, I would like to give a special shout-out to my cousins, Enzo and Paco Cabral. Paco's a sound engineer. Graduated from Buff State last year, and he gave us a great recommendation for a new microphone. And my cousin Enzo, his brother, he gave us a lot of content recommendations that I've taken to heart.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been, at least from my side, they've helped me a lot, helped me and Jake a lot with the podcast. So shout outs to them.
Definitely, definitely much appreciated. The microphone is fantastic.
Yeah.
Really, really love it. Thanks, guys. Yeah. So yeah, that's our episode. Hope you guys liked our new segment with Jay. Hope you guys are excited for the rest of the baseball playoffs, and we'll see you guys next week.
Yep, thanks for tuning in.
Welcome to Armchair HQ.